chapter number 17. And also, I want you to keep in mind the book of St. Mark, chapter number 9. We'll be looking over there for a couple of verses here in a little bit. But my thoughts coming out of Matthew, chapter number 17. Sure good to see you at the Lord's house this morning. And I hope He's got your number dialed today. Hope you'll be very attentive to what He's got to say this morning. This passage of Scripture right here, Peter, James, and John had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. They come back into a crowd of folks now, and there's something going on. That's where we want to look this morning in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples. They could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." That's where we need to take all our cares, ain't it? And all our troubles. "And Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for this day you've blessed us with. For health and strength to be here, Lord. We ask your blessings upon our pastor this morning, Lord. You'd touch him this day, God. You'd help him today, Lord. And all those others, God, on our prayer list that's in need today, Lord. I realize, Lord, where our help comes from. And Lord, just as this man brought his son to you, Lord, God, we want to bring all our needy, God, and our hurting before you this morning. And ask you to bless them and help them, Lord. God, I'm needy this morning. I need your touch today, Lord. God, as I stand to preach this word, Lord, I ask you, God, to look beyond my faults and my failures, Lord. God, would you just bless for Jesus' sake this morning, Lord. God, we pray that your will would be done, Lord. And you'd get all glory and praise. For we ask you in Jesus' name, amen and amen. This morning I'm interested in verse number 20 out of this passage where the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I want to preach on this thought this morning, mountain moving faith. Mountain moving faith. I want to say this morning, according to the Word of God and according to the teachings and sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ here, that you can have mountain moving faith this morning. And I think if we examined ourselves today, if we looked upon ourselves this morning, we'd have to say that we need more faith today in which we live. There's a lot of struggles, there's a lot of things that's facing us today in the day in which we live. We live in perilous times, friend, and I want to say this morning, we need more faith as we go out and meet the foe and meet the devil and the wiles that he's set before us in the day that we live. We need faith in the day that we live, and can I say today, we need some mountain-moving faith in our lives today. Mamas and daddies today, can I tell you, your children need to see that kind of faith in your life. They don't need to see a mom and daddy that's all time a-doubting, a hit-and-miss type mom and daddy that ain't taking them to church on a faithful basis, friend. They need some godly parents that's full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Mountain-moving faith. Have you ever had a mountain to come up in your life? Have you ever had something to come up that just seemed bigger than anything you've ever faced, and you just thought, I just don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. You want to just throw in the towel, and you just bum fuzzle by it. Jesus wants you to be able to overcome the mountains that you face in life. And you can only do it through faith in Him, friend. First of all, as we get into the message, friend, I want you to notice right here, as they come back down from the mountain, friend, Jesus reveals a demonic problem. Jesus reveals a demon problem. Can I tell you something? Demons are real. Can I tell you there's a real devil today? And there's a multitude of demons that he has going out to and spirits to accomplish the things that he wants done. And can I tell you he's going to come against you? Hey, listen to me now. There's demons in this world today. This is not just something that happened in old days, friend. The devil's still alive and he's still well, and he's got his demons going about seeking whom he might destroy in this life. And you better listen to the man of God this morning, friend. You better not give place to the devil today. He'll be sure to take it and destroy your home, destroy your life, and take your kids. You better listen to me today. Jesus revealed a demonic problem. First of all, there was a demon-possessed boy there that day. Notice up in verse 15, his daddy said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. You ever heard that word before? Lunatic. Maybe somebody might have called you a lunatic somewhere down the road. Amen? Maybe you just felt like a lunatic. You know what that word means? It has to do with the moon, lunar. Has to do, people, I wonder if anybody in here this morning got up and read your horoscope today. You're a lunatic. You're a lunatic. Listen, the way the moon and the stars line up don't run your life. Yeah, man? That's not what's in control of your life this morning. That's superstition. You ought to leave that kind of junk alone and get your nose in the Word of God and see what God's got to say this morning. But this boy's daddy said, well, he's a lunatic. Jesus had something else to reveal. There was another problem. It was a whole lot bigger than the moon and stars, friend. Hey, let me tell you, he was demon-possessed. Demon-possessed. Can I tell you, friend, that's a major problem in the day that we live today? Demon possession. Can I tell you this? If you'll read over in Ephesians chapter number 2, that before you got saved, and if you're lost today, let me tell you who's in control of your life if you're lost this morning. Read it over in Ephesians chapter number 2. Hey, you're walking according to the course of this world, the prince and power of the air, the one that works in the children of disobedience today. Let me tell you, the devil's got control of your life if you're not saved today. That's not my word, that's God's word. Demon possessed. But notice this, I want you to look in Mark chapter number 9 now. As Mark recorded this same incident over here, he had a little more light to add to this thing about this demon possession, and secondly, the devil's purpose. Look right here in verse number 19. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him. When he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. You know, the devil will make you act crazy, won't he? The devil will make you talk crazy. He'll make you do things to hurt yourself. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Let me just stop right there and tell you something. The devil wants your children today. You hear me, parents? The devil wants your children. You better be daddy down at your house, daddies. There's times you're going to just have to put your foot down. Tell your kids they ain't going according to the course and things of this world. They may not be, hey, let me tell you what, they may not be head cheerleader. They may not be homecoming queen. They may not be captain of the football team. But, hey, let me tell you, they may not die and go to hell either. Are you listening to me this morning? You better stay in charge, friend. And he says this in verse 22. Here's what I want you to see, the devil's purpose. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters. Notice, to destroy him. That's the devil's purpose. Hey, that's what he loved to do to everybody sitting in this audience this morning. You ought to thank God. You ought to thank God that he's kept his hand of mercy about you this morning. And he's preserved you this day, friend. Because the devil would love to steal, to kill, and destroy you and your home and your family today. He said he's cast him into the fire, cast him into the waters to destroy him. To destroy him. Talking about a demonic problem. Demon possessed, the devil's purpose. But thank God there was a determined parent. A determined parent. He had brought him to the disciples. Jesus, James, and John was up on the mount. He brought this son to the disciples there, and they were powerless. They couldn't cast him out. That's a lot like a lot of Baptist churches today. They're powerless. The glory of the Lord has departed, and there's no help there anymore. They've turned from preaching to entertainment, turned to the things of this world, friend, and God is nowhere about it. Oh, he had to say. He said they couldn't do it. But I'm glad he didn't just take his boy and go back to the house. He was determined to get him to God, to get him to Jesus. He'd heard what Jesus could do, and he believed it. Ain't you glad that there was somebody determined in your life to get you to Jesus when you was lost? No telling. Hey, it'll only be known someday who it was that was praying for you. Who it was agonizing for you to get you to God. Ain't you glad for that? Ain't you glad? Don't give up. This man wouldn't give up. He wouldn't throw in the towel and go down to the house, friend. Don't give up. Keep on praying. You may have a wayward child this morning. You may have a wayward child, but don't give up. Don't let the devil have his way this morning. Just keep on a praying. Keep on a praying. Keep on a praying. Keep on a praying until the light breaks through upon him. Amen. I know it from experience, friend. I know it from experience this morning. My son was called to preach at a young age, Brother Lee. 14, 15 years old. And he started running from it in the high school. He started running from that, and he just kept getting worse and worse, Brother Lee. He wrecked so many cars, I could have started a junkyard. I ain't kidding you. He did. Every time he left the house, there's a fear come over me. I knew he was running from God. I knew God could kill him at any time, Brother Lee. But he had a determined parent. Let me tell you. Let me just tell you, I give up. I give up on him, Brother Lee. I give up, but he had a mama that wouldn't give up. She kept on praying. I told her, I said, you might as well get ready. We're going to have a funeral one of these days. But she wouldn't give up. She kept on believing She kept on hanging on to God. Glory to God. You know where he's at this morning? He's over in Albania on a mission trip. Going over there to people he don't even know. He's a pastor in a little church up at Temple, Georgia. And I couldn't be prouder of him. Let me tell you, just keep on. If your child's out in the world this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. Just keep on praying. Be that determined, pal. They need somebody. They need somebody at that time in their life. Keep on praying. Oh, look at this now. Back in Mark chapter number 9 here. Not only was he demon possessed, the devil had a purpose to kill him. There was a determined parent. But don't you to notice this as Mark records it. There was doubt that was professed. Doubt that was professed. And I believe this is where a lot of us are this morning. He said in verse 22, he cast him into the waters, into the fire to destroy him. But notice what he said. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I see a little bit of doubt right there in his mind. Well, that little word if, that's where we're at a lot of times. We're in the iffy stage in our faith, friend. But let me tell you, Jesus, it ain't no ifs for him, friend. Hey, he can. Hey, can. He can this morning, friend. Notice what Jesus said back to him. He said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth, friend. Hey, that unlocks a new door right there, don't it, friend? Believe. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing that the Lord can't do today. If it's according to his will today, friend, just keep on praying. Keep on praising him. Keep on pressing on in this thing, friend. You're going to face some mountains out there somewhere. Don't let the mountains stop you, friend. Just get together with the mountain mover, friend, and put your faith in him, and he can do it. Oh, listen to me. I saw doubt possessed him, and then he confessed. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. Oh, let me tell you something. There was a mountain of doubt and the devil. This man needed mountain moving faith. Jesus was offering it to him. Oh, Jesus revealed a demonic problem. But notice this too. Jesus reveals the disciples' problem. Now, if we've been saved, we're supposed to be disciples of Christ. We're supposed to be going forward for Christ. We're supposed to be in the work of Christ as we journey through this walk of life. Now, let's go back to Matthew 17 over here. At this passage of Scripture right here, Jesus rebukes his disciples. You notice this. When the man said, I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do nothing for him. Jesus said this in rebuking. He said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Notice he called them faithless and he called them perverse. I tell you this morning, friend, you better love Liberty Baptist Church. You ought to thank God for Liberty Baptist Church. You ought to thank God for a pastor that's led you in the right paths, in the old paths, in the right way, as the Bible says, in the good ways today, friend. Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. We live in a day when a lot of folks has got a church building. They got a steeple up on the building, friend. But let me tell you, the glory of the Lord has departed because there ain't no faith in the house. And that perverted the ways of God, the old paths, the old things of God. They've got away from it. They've turned the house of God into a house of entertainment, into a house I don't know what you call some of the junk out there that there is going on in this world, friend, but it's perverted, perverted. Perverted. Jesus rebuked them because there wasn't no power there. Let me tell you something, child of God. You need old-time power in your heart and life. Let me tell you how you're going to get it today. From praying, studying the Word of God, and asking God to fill you with His good Holy Ghost. Amen! You can come to the house of God and not be mealy-mouthed. You can come to the house of God and be a worshiper if you want to. God wants you to have power in your life. Amen. He said you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, didn't he? Over in the book of Acts chapter 1. He tells us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's power. And you need that in your life, friend. He rebukes his disciple, and notice then he rebukes the devil. In verse 18, he said, and Jesus rebuked the devil. Now the man thought he was just a lunatic, but there was a devil problem. You better believe the devil wants to give you problems today. The Bible says not to give place to him. Let me tell you, you need to stay close to Jesus. You need to have more church, not less church. You need to have more prayer, not less prayer. You need to have more Bible study, not less Bible study. You need more God in your life. Because if you start to separate yourself from these things, friend, you give place to the devil. Let me tell you, anybody in this house right here, let me tell you something. You in church this morning, that's good. You may miss church tonight. You know what it'll be? It'll be easier Wednesday night for you to miss church, if you miss it tonight. And then next Sunday, it'll be harder for you to get back to church next Sunday. First thing you know, you done laid out 3, 4, 5 weeks, and you don't even know if there is a God anymore. Hey, you listening to me this morning? You know what you've done? Separated yourself from the things of God and you give place to the devil. Now he's got you by his reins, seeking to destroy you, friend. Jesus rebuked the devil. He was the cure. The disciples didn't have the cure, but Jesus had the cure. Can I tell you, he's still the cure this morning? Let me tell you what a lot of you's problem is. You've been listening to Dr. Phil. You've been listening to too much Oprah and not getting you enough of Jesus in your life. Right, Brother Randy taught this morning about wisdom. Getting wisdom for your life, friend. And he said if you do that, you acknowledge Him and He'd direct your paths. You know why some of you got so much road rash on you? You know why so many of you's run in the ditch down the way? Hey, because you hadn't let Him be the leader in your life. You better listen this morning. Oh, he rebuked his disciples. He rebuked the devil. And now, thirdly, he reveals their deficiency. Wonder if you're deficient in anything this morning, spiritual. He reveals their deficiency. He said in verse 20, Jesus, first of all, verse 19, let's catch that. He said, then came the disciples to Jesus apart. And said, why could not we cast him out? You know what they did? They got Jesus over to the side. They didn't want everybody else to hear this. They said, Lord, why ain't we got any power like that? Why didn't we have the power like that? Anybody ever stood up with God on them, testifying and be a blessing, and you think within yourself, well, I wonder why I can't do that? Powerless. Jesus said real plain now. I believe everybody can understand this. They said, why can't we do that, Lord? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Everybody understand that? Hey, these men were walking with Jesus on a daily basis. They'd seen him cast out devils. They'd seen him do marvelous, marvelous works. The things that they'd seen, and they still had a problem with unbelief. Ain't that amazing?
Ain't that amazing? That's where we fall in a lot of times, ain't it? Doubt and unbelief. You know what doubt will do? It won't just sit still in your life, it'll grow. When doubt comes your way, you better deal with it. I mean, you better get on your face before God and get in the Word of God and get some things ironed out in your life. Amen? Unbelief. Well, what's one of the causes of unbelief? Let me give you a few causes of unbelief. Lack of prayer. Jesus said this kind of thing right here is not going to be done except by prayer and fasting. Fasting. I ain't talking about fast cars. Fasting is a Bible word. Anybody know? Anybody ever read that in the Bible about fasting? Baptists don't know much about fasting, I'm afraid. But it is in the Word of God. And God does honor it. God hears prayer. God honors fasting. He's looking for somebody that's contrite and sincere in prayer. A lot of times we got the little canned prayer. Not really sincere when we pray. As James said, most of the time we ask amiss that we might consume it upon our own lust. We ain't got our minds and hearts even in the right place to pray. Lack of prayer, lack of fasting, lack of faith. Jesus, He hurt their feelings, didn't He? He ever hurt your feelings? He hurts my feelings pretty regular. When I examine myself, He goes to pointing things out in my life. He don't mind hurting my feelings. But you know what? It helps me. It sure does help me. And He does it for my own good. Unbelief had left them powerless. Now lastly today, I just had a 3-point message today. Try to help you. Not only did Jesus reveal a demonic problem, He revealed the disciples' problem, but He reveals a door of possibilities. The verse that I took my text from, I'm talking about mountain-moving faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain. Now, the mountain they just come down off of, the Mount of Transfiguration, I believe Jesus was pointing at it. He said, if you just got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, remove thence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Notice, friend, I see a parallel here of a mustard seed. One other passage over in the book of Mark, Jesus has a parable about a mustard seed. He says it's the least of seeds over there. I looked up the thing of a mustard seed, and what I found was a mustard seed's about a millimeter inside, a very tiny seed. But Jesus said if it's planted, it'll grow up. Its branches will spread forth, and it'll be the greatest in size of all the herbs. See, friend, it's, what He's teaching us right here is, you know, we ain't got much faith. But if we got just a little faith, if you've got just a little faith, it'll do you good to plant it somewhere. Hey, He may even put a mountain out there in front of you somewhere to get you to work with that little grain of faith that you've got, friend. The parallel of the mustard seed, the size of it is small. The success of it can be huge. And I tell you, little faith this morning can have big results. But you got to be willing to exercise it. Let me tell you, faith ain't going to do you one lick of good if you ain't willing to exercise it. And God's going to try you somewhere, sometime, to where you'll have to put faith to a test. Are you listening to me this morning? The parallel of mustard seed. Now notice this, the placing of a mountain. God may have a mountain out there for you somewhere. God may place a mountain in your life that's going to look so huge that you've got nowhere to go but to Him. And when you face that thing, friend, it's going to be a test of your faith, or it's going to be a testimony of your failure.
Are you listening? Let me tell you a story that I heard probably 35, close to 40 years ago. A young Christian. I heard a preacher preaching on the radio. I couldn't tell you his name now to save my life, but I'll never forget a story that he told, an experience that happened to him up in the mountains of maybe North Carolina. But he said he was preaching a revival at a little old country church down in the valley beside a mountain. Got through preaching on Monday night and gave an altar call. There was a few people come to the altar, and there was a very old lady that came to the altar and began praying. Well, nobody went to pray with her. On Tuesday night, same thing. Altar call, little old lady was back in the altar again. Wednesday night rolls around, same thing. The little old lady was back in the altar again. And this evangelist preacher asked the pastor there, said, "What's the matter with this little old lady? You got any idea?" Listen now. That pastor said, "She's a little old lady that lives on the other side of the mountain there. She's been coming to this church since she was a little old girl. Said she's a prayer warrior. She's a prayer warrior. If anybody can get through to God, she can." Well, on Thursday night, same thing happened. She was back in the altar. And that evangelist boy, he was troubled about her. He was troubled about her going and praying all by herself. And God led him to get down there beside her. And he asked her, said, "Ma'am, is there anything that I can help you pray about?" You know what she said? She said, "Preacher, I've gotten old." She said, "I've crossed that mountain many a time for walking to church." She said, "But I've gotten old and I'm getting feeble." She said, "I just barely can make it over the mountain anymore." She said, "I'm praying that God will move that mountain." Listen now. That ain't the end of the story. This pastor called this evangelist several months later. He said, "I got something I just got to tell you." I don't remember the lady's name, but he said she was at home one day and came a knock on her door. There was a man in a uniform standing there. He said, "Ma'am," said, "I just want to tell you something here, so things won't alarm you." Said, "I'm with the road department." Said, "We're going to be doing some blasting out here." "We're going to take that mountain down and put a 4-lane road through here." Woo! Hey, it pays to believe God, don't it? Hey, it pays to just keep on praying and trusting God, friend. He can move mountains. He can move mountains, friend. Hey, what do you think that little old lady thought that day when she looked out there, friend, and God had come to the door and said, "I'm going to move that mountain for you." Hallelujah. He can do it. You might say, "Well, I may never have that kind of experience. I may not ever have that kind of need in my life." I've had a mountain moving experience in my life. I'm closing now. Listen to me. First Sunday morning in March, 1974, I walked in Sardis Baptist Church. Brother Monroe Wiggins was pastoring there. There was a mountain out in front of me. Can I tell you what it was? It was a mountain of sin. I was buried under it. I couldn't move it. I was miserable. I couldn't see no way over it. But the mountain mover showed up that morning. He showed up. Let me tell you what he done. He moved that mountain of sin. All I had to do was just ask him. And let me tell you, friend, I didn't know the. If you could ask me where the book of Genesis was, and I couldn't have showed you. I had that little grain of faith. I just had a little grain of faith. I just heard that Jesus would save you is all I knew, friend. The devil had told me many a time that he wouldn't, friend, but I knew if I had any hope, it would be through him, because he's the one that saves sinners, and he loves sinners. And God sent me a word that morning, and God sent conviction to me that morning, and he sent a word to me saying, come, come, come. Now I'll move that mountain for you. Stand with me around the house this morning. Would y'all come with a song?